In this chapter here, of course, the Pharisees and scribes, they was always complaining. You know, some folks are always complaining. And their main complaint was that Jesus receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Of course, they thought they was righteous without the Lord. And they was complaining that the Lord was receiving sinners and eating with them. But this is a chapter of parables here, three parables, of course. The first one's about the lost sheep, and the second one's about the lost silver. The one I want to talk about today is the lost son. And I'm trying to preach on a spiritual homecoming. But here, this young man, beginning at verse 11, of course, this is a parable. Parables is an earthly story, a natural thing to teach a spiritual thing. And so the Lord's teaching us here about this fellow had two sons. The younger, he said to the father, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me, and divide unto them his living. Of course, there we see his rebellion. You know, we're all rebels by nature. He said, give me. Everybody today, they think they deserve something. Give me what belongs to me. Now, but in the last days, people will lose their own selves. And may God help us to help others in focus, and the Lord in view, and not so much ourselves. But here, he's a rebel, and he goes into a far country. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 15:23, the rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is idolatry and iniquity. And so, it's terrible to be a rebel, but we are all rebels by nature. Some people are worse rebels than others. And you've heard me say this. Some sinners are worse sinners than others in their practice. But everybody's sinners in their person. You might not be as bad as the other fellow is, but you're as bad off as he is. You're not saved. Now, you think of that. You say, well, I'm not as bad as that fellow. Been in prison all these years and been involved in all this drugs and alcohol and stuff. Yeah, but you're as bad off as he is. See, he's got to be saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood, just like you have to be saved and washed in the blood. So keep that in mind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, but one man sinned the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. So many people, I think, never have come to realize that they themselves are sinners. And they're rebels against God. They just kind of mix in with the church crowd. They'll kind of drift in. Instead of being saved by the grace of God, born again. I think this is right. Many people have never been convicted. Therefore, they've never been converted. See, you'll never get truly converted to Christ. Then you can get converted to a preacher. You get converted to a religion or a church. But you can't never get converted to Christ unless you get convicted about your sins. And so that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God will convict us about our sins. Not how much you've sinned, but it is that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this fellow, he was a rebel, and he started rambling. A lot of folks today, you know, they didn't mean to go as far as they went, but they went too far down the wrong road. He spent all wound up down the far country. And a famine come in his life. You know what's the matter with a lot of the world today? They're in a famine in their life. They think drugs and illicit sex and alcohol and all these things will satisfy them. But no, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but there's no deep satisfaction in sin. And the world's in a famine. We see today America and the world's falling apart politically and socially and morally every other way. Well, the reason for that is folks are discontent inside. I say praise God for the peace that the Lord gives. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You can't have peace one with another and peace with yourself without having peace with God. I'm glad God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Not if you were trespassing on them. So if you need to be reconciled to God, it takes two to be reconciled. There's a problem if you're not reconciled. A lot of times brethren have to be reconciled. If one offends the other, somebody has to take the blame. And actually, you'll never get reconciled to God until you take the blame for being a sinner. Somebody say, well, it's easy to get saved. Yeah, but it's hard to take the blame sometimes. just take sides of God and take the blame. You're to blame. So this fellow here, there's a famine. He was hungry in a far country, an alien country, far away from home. And listen, Spanish living on money on riotous living. A lot of people living a riotous life today. Oh, may God help us. I mean, every day there's a policeman killed. Every day there's an overdose of drugs. Heard just a doctor say the other day that more young people now is overdosing with drugs than are killed in automobile accidents. Drugs is a last day thing. That's sorcery. Listen, people are just drugged. We live in a drug society. We ought to take a minute and praise God that if He convicted you and converted you and you got forgiven and you come home, amen, before you got all messed up in all this world, I believe I'll take a minute and say, praise God. At almost 21 years old, the Lord, listen, I didn't go to church to get saved, but the Lord saved me when I got there, amen. There's a preaching the Word of God and singing the songs of praise and shouting the victory. And brother, I got under old time conviction and God broke my heart and my will. And left me in the dust. I saw what a terrible wretch I was by nature and what I must be by the grace of God. I say the Lord, for Christ's sake, forgave my sin, washed them away. I've been going to heaven over 60 years now. It's getting better all the time. I'm nearer home now than I've ever been before. I refuse to quieten down with a liberal cold crowd. I think we're to cry louder all the time. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Most of you claim to be saved. How long has it been since you praised God audibly? I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm not talking about pumping something up. I'm talking about you ought to have joy unspeakable bubbling up inside. And maybe not seeing your love. Don't ask him not yet believe. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen, if you lose your joy, you cease to be the Christian you should be if you don't have full joy. The Lord wants you to have full joy. And it's not fun being saved. Fun's a worldly word. Fun's what you have at the ball game when the game's over, the fun's over. Joy's what you have being saved. You have joy at church when the service is over. You still have joy. Take it home with you. Praise God. And so there's his rebellion and his rambling around. And then his repentance. Did you notice verse 17? When he came to himself. You'll never come to the Lord till you come to yourself. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants do my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And I'll say to him. So he's saying here, what all, he's reasoning with himself. Everybody look here. You know what? You'll never get saved until you become a reasonable person. Unreasonable people never get saved. When you become reasonable, it's your fault. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. Look where I am. Reason it out. Has sin profited you anything? Do you have the victory in your heart because of sin? Never. You may get on high, but you're worse when you get down than you was when you got up. See, this fellow now is in a far country, away from home, and everything is good. And so he says, he remembers, he reasons it out. Come now, God said, let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18. If you become reasonable, you think about God, the thrice holy God, condescending down to where we are and said, hey, I'll reason with you. You know God's a reasonable God? If you become a reasonable person, you'll get saved. If you become a reasonable saint, you know some saints get unreasonable. If you become a reasonable saint, you'll get full joy. Full forgiveness. You can get back in the harness. A lot of Christians, I think they're Christians. They say they are, and I believe they are. But, you know, because of all the pressures of this world and the pleasures of this world, little by little, they drifted and got away from the scriptures and away from the prayer and away from the service a lot of times and away from old time preaching. The first thing you know, their joy is not like it used to be. They're not enthused about the things of God. You have to kind of pamper them to get them to come to church. I mean, when I got saved, you talked about not going back. I couldn't wait to get back. We had church then on Saturday nights. And we had prayer meetings through the weeks, weeknights. And so we just have service about all the time. Sit around fellowship and around the Lord. Talk about the things of God. Wasn't so much to mess your mind up then as it is today. A lot of legitimate things now be okay if it wasn't too much of it, you know. Someone said, what about TV and what about internet and what about Facebook and what about iPad and what about, the problem is we've got too much of it. Some people can't even go to church without scaling and running their phone while they listen to the preacher preach. Some preachers are even doing that. Someone said, you preach against the phone, I'm preaching against too much of it. You know, you have to take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart will be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. What's it actually saying? Other things will crowd out your joy and your victory inside. So this boy become reasonable. He reasoned it out. Then after he got reasonable, he started repenting. He said, I'm going to my father's house. And I'm not going up there and say, you should have given me more. I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Oh, when you see what you really are, you'll know that you're unworthy. After you've done all you can do, then we're just unprofitable servants. Who can say they're worthy? We're not worthy. The Lord Jesus is worthy. I say, praise his name. Hallelujah. I'm glad I didn't know much about, nothing about the Bible, nothing about salvation, didn't know how to pray, but God was so reasonable and merciful when I come to him and prayed guilty. He just forgave me. I didn't have to say my prayer right. I had heart problems. You got heart problems. And heart's what you are inside. You know, nowadays we say, did you pray this prayer? You're not saved by praying a prayer. You like this fellow done. He just come and fell down. But you know what? Before he got there, the Father saw him coming. The Father was more willing than he was. The Father was sitting on ready all the time. Hey, are you glad God was sitting on ready all the time? Did you know he's waiting on you? He's waiting on me? Listen, it's not hard to get God to forgive. It's hard to get us to get ready to be forgiven. So this fella, he come and just fell down. And says, Father, and the Father ran. As far as I know, this is about the only time in the Bible. See, God don't ever run much. Actually, he walks on the wind, don't even run on the wind. But he's so interested in these fellows coming that sees their need of forgiveness and comes in repentance. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, blessed day when the Lord came where I was, amen, and kissed my sins away. I call that the kiss of reconciliation. Amen. Did you know he didn't say, tell me more. Tell me what you've done with your money. Tell me what all. He didn't do that. He didn't argue with him about his sins. The boy was more concerned about it than the father was. See, he just said, I'm not worthy. Just, I've sinned against heaven and sinned against thee. No more worthy to be called thy son. I think all of us can say that. Can't we say that? You know what he did? The father didn't argue with him and twist his arm. He said to the servants, bring the best robe put on him. I'm talking about his reception. God received him. You receive Christ, God receives you. You reject Christ, God rejects you. That's just the way it is. Have you ever been brokenhearted enough to ask him to be your Lord and Savior? Can you go back to the time in your life? Do you have an experience? What old Thomas called experience of grace? You remember when the Spirit of God spoke to your heart? You remember when God deepened conviction so that you saw that you was perishing without God? You saw that you was unworthy? You deserved nothing but wrath and eternal ruin? Have you ever been there? Oh, I never shall forget. I never shall forget when the Lord put the pressure on me and turned the light on me. And I saw what a rebel I was. Up until that time, I thought I was a pretty good guy, you know. I was just fitting in with the church crowd. Oh, I could have joined the church any time. They'd been glad to got me. And we're so desperate now in the church world. You know, if you can't say anything about God's saving grace, we'll testify for you and take you in. I've seen people join the church when they couldn't give any word of a testimony at all. Now, I know a lot of people are not public, and we don't expect them to say big, long words. But you do know that you've been lost, and you do know you've been found, don't you? You mean when you got convicted, and then you got converted? See, nobody's interested in the pardon and hadn't been convicted. And it's very easy to get religion. Very easy to get in the church. But, oh, this fellow here, he's taking the blame. He wasn't putting any of the blame on the father. He didn't put any blame on his brother. He didn't put a blame on other family members. He took the blame. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. In other words, I'll take whatever you give. And the father turned to the servant and said, bring the best robe and put on him. You've got a robe of righteousness on today. You know, all the righteousness we've got has been given to us. You've heard me say this. On the kind of righteousness God accepts, the kind he gives. You can't produce. One brother said, I said, you saved? He said, well, I'm doing the best I can. Well, you're not saving the best you can do. You're saving the best Christ did. You know, you couldn't do much. You can do the best you can. And after you do all that, that's just filthy rags outside of Christ. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf. Our niggers like the wind taking us away. Now, if you're saved, you ought to do right. That's not filthy rags if you're saved. But if you're not saved and you're trying to do something to impress God, that's just filthy rags. Now, if you're saved, you've been created in Christ under good works. So those good works are not filthy rags of Christians. I have to stop and go over that because a lot of Christians think their works is like filthy rags. No, these things I will tell firm confidence. But they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Well, these things are good and profitable unto men. They wouldn't save you, but they might help somebody else get saved. They might see us doing something for the Lord, good for His glory, and they might see that there's a difference in us. And it's good and proper. Some young Christian might see us older Christians trying to do something for the glory of God, and we're spending our time trying to work for God, and they see the good works, and they start glorifying God. It's proper unto men. It don't help save you, or don't help keep you saved. But God does use, and God ordained. I told a good Calvinist brother one time, I said, you know, everything God ordained not coming to pass. He said, I don't understand what you mean. That's Ephesians 2. And verse 10 says that God ordained that Christians should walk in good works. We should walk in good works. And so this fellow, he didn't know repent, but he was received. The father received him. Bring the best robe. Bring a ring and put it in his hand. Shoes on his feet. Dress him up. Amen. Fixing to have a time around. You're going to have a homecoming. Amen. This fellow come home. When you come to God in Christ, you're coming home. Oh, you say, well, you're not home yet. Well, I'm in the family. I'm going where the family's going. We're going home. And we may get there pretty quick. Praise God. You know what we're looking for now? We're not looking for getting the better. Now, I hope we get a little bit of reprieve and hope things get better. And I'm hoping for that down here. But I'm not looking for it. I'm looking for things to get better over yonder, further on. The saints are going higher than this. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Now, a lot of folks, they're driving their stakes down and getting ready for stay around here. Well, you don't want to stay around here if you're saved. We're willing to rather be out than body be praying with the Lord. We've got a brighter place than this to go to. Politicians are not going to fix it. They've already fixed it where it can't be fixed. It's going to take the judgment of God to fix it now. And I've got to put this in for good measure right here. Anytime you see legalized in America and the world what they're legalizing now, that says they've gone too far to get fixed down here. Now, a lot of people, they kind of turn me off. You know, a lot of people, one fellow said the other day, talking to me, I said, listen, you can go too far for preaching. Sodom and Gomorrah went too far for preaching. Noah's day went too far for preaching. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but didn't affect none of them. You know why? Genesis 6:3, God said His Spirit will not always strive with man. So God gave up on them. And they went too far. They could not hear. While you can hear, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. This boy here, he could still feel conviction, feel remorse. He understood his distance away. He understood what's happening to him. Can you see that sin's going to ruin you? If you don't get rid of sin, sin will get rid of you. You're no match for sin. You know, in your life and my life, either sin's reigning or grace is reigning. If sin's reigning, that means sin's the boss. If grace is reigning, grace is the boss. We still have the principle of sin as Christians, but sin's not reigning. We're told not to sin, and then we're told if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So sin don't control us. Ain't that a blessing? I look, see this fellow, affected out of their church near home, first day of October, this fellow is going to preach, and he had more than 100 years in the penitentiary. more than 100 years and got saved and started having Bible study and preaching in the penitentiary. Went up 3 times for parole. He's in there 38 years. After a while, the governor said, hey, I'm turning him loose. I think he can do more than outside. He's going to preach out there. You know, if you get saved, he'll save you from all that. You say, well, he's a murderer. Oh, yeah, we're murderers in our hearts, you know. God forgive us. Is that right? You don't have to kill a man to be a murderer. What you would do if you could do and get away with it, you have done. A lot of people don't understand that. It's an inside problem. It's a heart problem. It's inward man problem. You need to be made a new creature. God makes people new creatures inside. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. See, in salvation, the Lord quickens the spirit, saves the soul, circumcises us inside, cuts the inward man loose, outward man, and makes the inward man a new creature in Christ, and old things are passed away, and old all things become new. The body's ruled dead because of sin. The principle of sin is still in here. We have to live in this body, but sin's not reigning and ruling us now. If sin's ruling you, and you're living in sin, and going wayward away from God all the time, and sin's the boss and you like it, I wouldn't have your religion. Now, you may sin as a Christian, but you're bothered until you get it right if you're saved. You can't live in sin and be happy if you're saved in the grace of God. Ain't that a blessing? Now, they had a rejoicing time here. This fellow, he returned and he repented, and he was received, and he got dressed up here, and the father and the family received him. They didn't argue about his past. He just come home. And now, they said, kill the fatted calf, and let's eat, drink, and be merry. Listen, they had a great, merryful, happy time around there, because this one that was lost come home. You know what? You know what makes Christians happy? To see somebody come home. Oh, we'd rather see that as anything in the world, see somebody come home. And really mean business with God, you know. Just come and take the blame, like this old boy fell down. And I've sinned against heaven, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me as a hired servant. I'm willing to take a place of a hired servant. He didn't get a servant's place. He got a son's place. This my son. Praise God. The servant didn't wear any shoes in those days. They put the best shoes they had on this boy. Oh, praise God. We are servants of the Lord, but listen, we're dressed up like sons. Brother, now we're the sons of God. Now we're the sons of God. And I want to get to him right now. If they'll not get up here, what we shall be, we know he shall be. We should be like him. Are you a child of God today? Have you passed from death unto life? You know your name written in heaven? You know the blood washed your sins away? I'm happy about that myself. You know, if you're in Christ, you can't be in a better position. Now, we can be in better fellowship, and we can be more filled with joy, but if you're saved and placed in Christ, the body of Christ, you can't be in a better position. When God looks at you, if you're saved, he sees you in Christ complete. And if you're outside of Christ, you're just like the rest of the world outside of Christ. We're just trying to impress God. See, God knows our thoughts are far off. He knows all about us. What do you reckon would happen today if we was honest as we'll have to be when we face the Lord? I've been thinking about it. You know, we got to deal with him whose eyes are like a flame of fire, piercing, seeing everything. Nothing's hidden the eyes of him or whom we have to do. He knows all about us, our secret things. Every word's got to be brought into judgment with every secret thing. What do you reckon happen today if everybody's honest as we're going to have to be? I've been thinking about that the last few days. How honest we're going to have to be. You know, about all of us have our hidden places, our holy places. No trespassing. Things we don't want the preacher to know. We don't want the pastor to know. Don't want our folks and friends to know. Got the most holy place. No trespassing. But when you stand before God, all the covers got to come off. God, see it like it really is. Then we'll have to come clean. Even some of us Christians at the judgment seat. And the works will have to be burned. See, the judgment seat of Christ are not for sins, it's for service. And every man's work be tried to see what sort it is, even the Christians. And then sinners got to stand at the white throne judgment. And everything's got to be given account of. You know, my advice would be today, just put up the white flag of unconditional surrender. Both saint and sinner, just come clean with God. Be the best thing that ever happened to you. Get all that load of guilt and sin off of you. Have peace with God. Then have peace one with another. Ain't nothing like it. Best thing that ever happened to you in the world. I think there's people here today, probably, don't have peace with God. You used to die today, and somebody's dying while we're talking today. Somebody's dying. Somebody's going out in eternity.